So today, we're going to continue in our Why Jesus series, and we're going to talk specifically about what some of the other religions of the world say about Jesus and about some of the characteristics of Jesus. And in your bulletin, there's a handout, and that kind of has a chart that I made that kind of gives you a perspective on some one of these other world religions have to say about Jesus. But before we get into what the other religions and other people say about Jesus, we want to talk about what is it that we as Christ followers believe about Jesus? And the first category that we're going to look at is Jesus' origins. And so for those of us who follow Christ, we believe that Jesus was pre-existent. That means Jesus was God, Jesus is God, and Jesus always will be God. And the scripture that we're going to look at is from John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John is using the Word to be Jesus, the Logos. "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus was with God in the beginning because Jesus said Jesus is God. And so that's something that we'll see is characteristic unique to Christianity. The next category that we're going to look at in each of these is we're going to look at the resurrection. And of course, for those of us who believe, we believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. We read, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost." This was right after his death and burial and resurrection. "He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." As we'll see in a few minutes, there are many that say Jesus didn't really raise from the dead, or that it was just a spirit that rose from the dead. He wasn't a bodily resurrection. But we read here in Luke that it was, "See my hands, see my feet. I'm a man of flesh and bones." The next category that we're going to look at is the Trinity. And the Trinity is the doctrine that says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. It is one God living in three unique personages. And in Genesis we read, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." And then at Jesus' baptism we read, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" In this we see Jesus, the Son. We see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and we hear the voice of the Father. All three personages of the Holy Trinity working at the same time in distinct ways. The next category that we're going to look at is the virgin birth. Of course, as believers, we believe in the virgin birth. And we read, "In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now we're going to sing, "Hearken, Herald Angels Sing." I read that passage, and of course, you think Christmas, because this is when it all began. And the virgin birth is a critical part of understanding the story of Christianity, when God became a man. And that's our next category, the incarnation, which means God fully becoming a human being, but also retaining his godness, being fully man and fully God at the same time, something that we can't quite get our heads around. But as we read through Scripture, we see that that is what happened, that Jesus was fully man, 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel literally means God with us. Jesus was God with us in the flesh. And the final category that we're going to look at is monotheism. Do these people say that Jesus is the only God, that God is the only God? And Jesus replies in Mark, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. There is only one God. He exists in three personages of the Trinity, but there is only one God. And that one God, being Jesus, wants a personal relationship with you. In Revelation, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. As we'll see, many of these religions don't have an idea of a personal God. There's not someone, a God who wants to be in a relationship with you. There's lots of gods that you can serve and that you can try to please by doing things and by living a certain way. But there's only one that wants a personal relationship with you, that wants to know you, that knows your name and wants you to call him Father. And that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let's look at our first group, Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be a Christian denomination in many cases. But as we'll see, they are definitely not in the Christian realm. So looking at Jesus' origins, they believe that Jesus was created by God. They believe that Jesus lived in heaven as a spirit person before he came to earth. He was God's first creation, and that's why he's called the firstborn, the protokos, the Son of God. Now, the problem with using that Greek word protokos is that it doesn't mean what they're saying that it means. It doesn't mean literally a Son of God. It literally means the one who has preeminence or the right to reign. They also say that Jesus was God's literal son, that he was the spirit son of God, saying that Jesus was God's only begotten son, as we're familiar listening to. But the problem with that is, again, that word begotten emphasizes uniqueness. It doesn't mean literally coming from someone else. It is being part of someone else. It is uniqueness, being the one and only Son of God. Son of God refers to the fact that the characteristics of God were the same characteristics as Jesus. So when you say that Jesus was God's Son, you're saying Jesus is the same as God. He is the same substance. He is the same entity as Jesus. When you look at the resurrection, they believe the resurrection was a spiritual event only, that it wasn't anything physical. Jesus died, as we read in Scripture, but then he was resurrected by God as a spirit creature, and then as a spirit he returned to heaven. There was no bodily resurrection for the Jehovah's Witnesses, and there was no human body for Jesus now. They say that when he appeared to his disciples, that he materialized in front of them, much like angels did at the time, where they would appear to people. And that's how he showed himself to them. After Jesus sacrificed his perfect manhood, they say, God raised him to death, to deathless life, as a glorious spirit creature, is what they call Jesus now. As for the Trinity, they say no. They say that Satan is the originator of the blasphemous doctrine of the Trinity. They call Jesus a God. They call Jesus a mighty God, but not the almighty God, who is Jehovah. Jesus was Jehovah's first and direct creation. They believe that God created Jesus first, and that is the only thing that God, Jehovah, created. And then he gave all of the other creating abilities and responsibilities to Jesus. So Jesus is God's first creation. The Father is greater than Jesus. The Father is older than Jesus. And he was the master worker who created all things. They do believe in the virgin birth. They do not believe in the incarnation. They believe that Jesus emptied himself of all things heavenly and all things spiritually when he came to earth. He was only man, only human. They believe in one God. They believe in one true God who has many titles, but they call him Jehovah. They say that's the only proper name for God. And as I already said, Jesus manifested himself to his followers after the resurrection. He's not limited to a physical body because God cannot be limited in their line of thinking. Let's go to the Mormons. Mormons say that Jesus was a spirit child of Elohim, who is the God of this world. Jesus is our elder brother, and we're all spirit children of Elohim and his wives. They believe in the resurrection. They do not believe in the Trinity. They believe that God the Father, it says, remember that God, our Heavenly Father, was perhaps once a child and mortal like we ourselves, and rose step by step in the scale of progress, in the school of advancement, has moved forward and overcome until he arrived at the point where he is now. So we all are at the same point. Elohim, God the Father, was just like you and me at one point in his life, and he progressed to become where he is now. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They believe that Elohim had physical relations with Mary, and that is how Jesus was born. He is the spiritual and bodily offspring of Elohim and Mary. Jesus Christ took on that body to perform the mission in the flesh. They don't believe in the incarnation, and they claim to be monotheistic, saying that there's only one God. But if you really dig into their doctrine, all of you men, only men, if you are faithful to the Mormon teaching, you can eventually become just like Elohim and have your own world and be your own God. And so they believe in many gods living in many different planets across the universe, all having spirit children and having the spirit children being dwelled and grown up to be like you and I. They also say that Jesus and Lucifer are spiritual brothers, both with the same father of Elohim. And so in the Mormon tradition, they believe the reason why they don't believe in they believe in big families is because all of the spirit children of Elohim need bodies. And so it's their responsibility to provide those bodies so that the spirit children can then come and live on earth and make more bodies for more spirit children. I'm saying this and it's just, you laugh, and it is, unfortunately, it's very funny at times, but it's sad that people believe this because, and a lot of times you can, if you ask just the general person on the street about, especially on Mormonism, said, do you believe in, you know, men becoming gods? And if they, oh no, our church doesn't teach that. But if you really look at it, their church does teach this. This is straight out of, that's a quote directly out of one of their books. And so there's a lot of these different religions that put on a good show and try to show themselves as Christians and Christ followers. But when it really gets down to it, they're not leading people to the Jesus of the Bible. They're not leading people to truth. They're leading people with lies and deception. Let's go to Christian Science. The Christian scientists believe that Jesus is the spiritual Son of God. He did not die in the resurrection. There was no resurrection. He did not die. He was hidden in the tomb. And he was hidden in the tomb, showing the power of the Spirit to overrule mortal and material body. He never died. He never rose from the dead. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe the closest thing to the Trinity that we have is life, truth, and love is the Trinity. Therefore, anything that relates to the Trinity has to be rejected on polytheistic basis. That there's too many, multiple gods is polytheism. The term God, they believe, can be interchanged with the terms life, truth, love, principle, mind, substance, intelligence, and spirit. God is impersonal and devoid of all personality at all. He has no personality. He is just spirit. He is just substance. He is just mind. They say about the virgin birth that Jesus was born out of Mary's thoughts, out of Mary's consciousness, is how Jesus came. They believed that he was a Galilean prophet who was born of the Virgin Mary's spiritual thoughts of life and its manifestation. Mary conceived the spiritual idea of God and named it Jesus. There was no real child named Jesus because there is no reality. Everything is, the only thing that is real is God and the mind and the spirit. The things that are not real according to the Christian Science beliefs. I was babysitting someone and the little girl cut her finger. And so I was getting a Band-Aid for her. And she said, "It's okay, Kevin, it's not real." It's like, okay, what do you say to that to a child who, I don't know how old she was at the time, but they grew up Christian Science. And so the pain and the suffering is not real. It's all figments of our imagination. And so that's what they believe. When it comes to the incarnation, they believe that Jesus was a man, that he was infallible, not infallible, because a portion of God could not enter man, and neither could God's fullness be reflected by a single man. Else God would be manifestly finite, losing the deific character and becoming less than God. God could not be limited by a human body. They do believe in just one God, and they believe that Jesus' miracles were not miracles at all because they were just illusions, because all matter is false. So these were just illusions of the mortal mind. They say disease, sickness, sin, and death are all illusions. They are not real because only mind, that's what they call God, is real, and mind is spiritual, not material. Buddhism. A historically accurate picture of the Buddha's life is impossible to construct. Narratives written about the man called Buddha were written 400 years after his death, and they include a great deal of embellishments regarding his life, his actions, and words. This is one of those readings about Buddhism. This is how he was born, according to one of the biographies. The child comes from his mother while she is standing up and holding on to the branch of a sacred sal tree. He is completely free of any afterbirth and is immediately able to walk and talk. He takes 7 steps in each of the cardinal directions and proclaims himself ruler of the universe. That's the origin story for Buddha, the Buddha. Now, according to them, Jesus is just a god among many gods. Gods were inhabitants of the cosmos, and like all other things, they are impermanent. They have to escape the cycle of rebirth that we're also having to escape, the cycle of rebirth. There is no resurrection, there is no Trinity, there is no virgin birth, and there is no incarnation. They are not monotheistic. They believe in many gods and no personal gods. The Buddha specifically rejected subservience to a supreme god. He felt that worship of other gods was simply another obstruction to gaining nirvana, which nirvana is heaven in the Buddhist way of thinking. Now, the goal of Buddhism is to achieve nirvana. And samsara is the continual rebirth and rebirthing and reincarnating oneself until you reach the state of nirvana, which is the state of the Baha faith. Baha'i faith began in Iran in the 19th century. They call themselves the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, the oneness of humanity. They focus on bringing together all of the 9 major religions of the world into one faith system. So they believe that Jesus was a manifestation of the divine being. They say that Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad were equal prophets, mirroring God's glory, messengers bearing the imprint of the great Creator. They were all manifestations of the divine being. They also include Zoroaster, Buddha, Confucius, Krishna, Lao, and Baha'u'llah, the last great manifestation of the divine being. As far as the resurrection happened, but if it did happen, it was only a spiritual resurrection. The alleged resurrection of Jesus and his ascension into heaven may or may not be true. They believe that he conquered over the grave, but if they did, these only happened in the spiritual realm. There is no bodily resurrection. The Trinity is not a concept in this religion. God is one person, and Jesus, they say, did not teach about the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of atonement, the cross, original sin, and the whole plan of salvation, they say, are a deformation of Jesus' teaching. None of those things Jesus taught. All of those things were changed, and they took Jesus' teaching and turned it and used it in a way that Jesus did not intend. As far as the virgin birth, it's not really important to them, so it's possible. As far as the incarnation, they say no, he was a manifestation of the divine being. He was only one of nine manifestations of the divine being and appeared in his era of time to illuminate those who lived at that time. The Baha'u'llah is the source of revelation, the most recent one, and that's from the 19th century. They believe that they're monotheistic, but monotheistic in the line of Judaism and Islam. They reject the Trinity idea. They say that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, but only for his time in his day and age, not beyond that. The new revelation of the divine, the new manifestation of the divine being gives you a more accurate path to salvation. Now as we move to Scientology, we read that Scientology speaks of a supreme being, but Jesus was not that supreme being. They speak about a supreme being. They speak about God and gods, but they don't tell their members which God or gods to believe in. This was the quote. What is the Scientology concept of God? We have no dogma in Scientology, and each person's concept is different. Each person attains his own certainty as to who God is and exactly what God means to him. The author of the universe exists. How this is symbolized is dictated by your early training and conscience. Although the existence of the Supreme Being is affirmed in Scientology, his precise nature is not delineated, since the Church holds that each person must seek and know the divine nature in and for himself. So there are no answers for you in Scientology. It's however you experienced him, however you feel about it at the time. There's probably not a big deal about the resurrection. There's no Trinity, no virgin birth, no incarnation. They believe that Jesus, the Christ, is a legend. And if he lived, he was a messenger of wisdom, a teacher, equal to Moses. His teaching were a message in compassion, and they set a very fine example. They also teach that Jesus believed in reincarnation and that idea of having to continually live life. As far as monotheism, sometimes they speak in monotheistic ways, but other times they speak of the activity of gods. And again, there's no hard and fast rule for Scientologists. They get to kind of decide on their own. Each person must seek to know the divine nature, him or herself. As far as Hinduism, Jesus was a human. Their belief on the resurrection varies. There's no doctrine of the Trinity, no virgin birth, no incarnation. And about monotheism, it varies. There's no single Hindu idea of God. It's a very eclectic religion. Some concepts of Hinduism include monism, which is that all existence is in one substance. And so everything is one. We are all made of the same thing. God's flesh, body, everything is one. They also have talked in pantheistic terms, where all existence is divine. Everything is God, including us. Panentheism is God is in creation as a soul is in our body. Animism, which is God or gods, live in non-human objects, such as trees, rocks, and animals. They also teach polytheism, which is many gods. They also teach henotheism, where there is one God we worship among the many that exist. And then there's also Hindus that believe in only one God, monotheism. So again, it's hard to pin down a specific Hindu belief. They believe that you achieve salvation through works. Everything is works-based. And again, the heaven for them is getting free from the rebirth and free from the reincarnation. Now for Islam, our last one for today. They believe that Jesus was a human. He was not the Son of God. They reject the biblical doctrine of the Trinity and the deity of Jesus because God is neither physical or spirit. They say that Jesus did not die on the cross. There's a couple different theories on what actually happened. Two of them are that he miraculously substituted Judas for himself. Was miraculous substitution there. Or that God miraculously delivered him from the hands of the Jews and Romans before he died. And most believe that he was taken into heaven without dying on the cross. As for the Trinity, they say there's no such blasphemous thing as the Trinity. However, they believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the incarnation. They believe that Jesus was a human prophet. They say Jesus is merely one of the prophets of Allah. He was a slave on whom God showed favor. Jesus did not atone for anyone's sin, although he was sinless and is one of those who are near to God. They believe that Jesus performed miracles, but they believe that the prophet Muhammad supersedes Jesus. As far as being monotheistic, they believe that Allah is the only true God. But you can't know Allah on a personal level. Now they believe that Jesus did miracles and that Muhammad did not. They believe that Jesus was sinless and perfect, but they believe that Muhammad sinned and needed forgiveness. They believe that Jesus was called the Messiah and was born of a virgin, yet Muhammad is still considered to be the greatest of the prophets. Doesn't quite make sense, does it? I want you to see through this brief overview of some of the world religions that all other religions have to deal in some way with Jesus. He existed and changed the world forever. Through what we learn in Scripture, we have an accurate picture of who Jesus is. And when we see who Jesus is compared to all of these other religions and other false ways, we can see that Jesus stands alone. Now, when people begin religious movements, it's often not until many generations later that people record things about their lives. For example, the scriptures of the Buddha, as I referenced earlier, he lived in the 6th century BC, but they weren't put into writing until the Christian era, and his first biography wasn't written until the 1st century AD, many generations. The biography of Muhammad was written 130 years after his death. But with Jesus, we're getting stories of his life written shortly after his death, burial, and resurrection. And as we talked about in week one of this series, we can trust that the Bible is accurate. We can trust that the Bible is true. And I hope and pray that you will investigate for yourself these claims of Christ. Because you can't ignore Jesus. You can't ignore what Jesus claims to have done and claims to have to be. You can choose to deny him, but you cannot ignore him. To say that you ignore him really means that you're denying him, because he is someone you must come to terms with. Either he was one of these other things that we read about today, or he was truly the Son of God, truly the one who came to save his people from their sins. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, I thank you for the truth of your scripture. I thank you for the truth and the power and the resurrection found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that you would strengthen our faith, strengthen our resolve, help us to share the good news of the gospel with those we come into contact with. May all things bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.